But what about the immigrants that are already here? Would they, in your ideal world, would they have to return to Mexico or return to where they come from?
Well, you know, there are very large numbers of illegals in this country at the moment. So, yes, I think that they should be encouraged to leave. And of course, one very important thing is to end birthright citizenship. Somewhere around about 300,000 children are born every year in the U.S. to illegal aliens. And under the current interpretation of the 14th Amendment, they're American citizens. That should be stopped immediately. And in fact, both Trump and DeSantis have proposed doing that.
What about those that are already here legally, though? If the problems that are caused by immigration, we can go back to, Phil Rushton's research about cooperation and trust and so forth being higher among people that are genetically similar, and this includes at the group level, then ultimately doesn't the kind of policy that Vito is advocating mean you'd have to basically break up the country or remove people from the country by force or something like that? I mean, that would be the kind of thing where it would lead.
I think that if you were to stop immigration completely for 50 years, that the assimilative mechanism would get a chance to work. And to the extent it didn't work, I think you'll find people would leave. I mean, if they found they didn't like the way the country. For example, if we had official English in this country, the way they do in Quebec, where they have official French policy, that people who didn't like working in English would tend to leave. But as I said, the essential point is that the assimilative mechanism cannot work.
I was surprised actually when I was in this hotel in Berkeley I went into my room and it had been cleaned, and the cleaners had left the door to my bathroom, my ensuite bathroom, locked. I couldn't get in. So I went downstairs to try and find somebody, a caretaker or somebody that could let me in. And I happened by chance to run into the caretaker, and he spoke no English.
No English.
And I was quite pleased with myself. I managed to communicate my problem with him in high school Spanish, which I haven't, I was 16 when I stopped learning Spanish.
Right.
Very simple. And he understood me and he dealt with the problem. But he did not speak English. Or at least he wouldn't speak English. I don't know which it was. I don't think he could.
Actually quite unusual in the U.S. outside of Miami. Miami has you do meet unilingual Spanish speakers there because of the great Cuban influx and the Latin American influx in recent years. But the thing is, the longer these people are here, eventually their children will learn English. And so as long as it's not been constantly reinforced by new immigrant influx.
But if we talk about the problems that immigration raises, which is this lack of cooperation, the lack of trust and so forth, then wouldn't it have been better if America had basically remained completely British, ethnically British, no immigrants from Poland, Italy, anywhere like that, just a British ethno-state, not unlike Australia was until the 70s.
Well, of course, until the 1950s, I would say the Americans did think of themselves as being, they wouldn't have said British, but they would say WASP. There was a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant ruling class in this country, and it fought the war and the Second World War, and it was just taken for granted. I mean, it was very recently that the Americans had their first Catholic president.
1960. He was elected. Yeah, 61.
And it was a big deal. There was a lot of agitation, a lot of just concern about it. So it thought itself as being a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant country, really, until the 1960s. And the extent that that's been changed, it's because of the 65 Act, Immigration Act, and its supporters who have invented all kinds of amazing arguments such as diversity is strength.
Are you ready for the future of the West?